Praise the Lord. It's a privilege and it's a great honor for me to have this opportunity to share the Word of God. And I just put something here for me. So I'm Gideon. So another Gideon has come here. And it's not about me. And it's about him who called me when I was 17 in high school. I had the voice of God. And he called me and encountered Christ. And through the journey, I've always been struggling, wanting evidence. Every time, even for all those years, telling God, I just need another evidence that you're with me and that you're hearing me. I constantly struggle. And I thank God that when Pastor sent me an email and told me, just share. You will say something. I had no clue. And I just thought, what? And I thank God that the Spirit of God led me to very old, you know, I started looking through the journals since 2007. I went through so many of my notes and many things that God had spoken to me over the years. And what strikes most and what I love is praying prayers. I'm not an expert in prayers. I am still learning how to pray. And I love praying not because all my prayers have been answered, but when I pray, I find strength and direction. And when I pray, I feel at peace. That's why I pray. Hallelujah. So you just go through a bit about praying. What is praying? I went to the dictionary just to find out what is prayers. And I came across this description of praying. That praying is to speak to God, either privately or in religious ceremony, in order to express love, admiration, or thanks, or in order to ask for something. That is Cambridge Dictionary. Prayer is a dialogue between you and God. And we have what we call authoritative praying. When you talk of authoritative praying, is to recognize that our very words spoken with authority, invested in the promises of God, enable us to confront enemy strongholds by rooting out, pulling down, destroying, and throwing down, as well as building and planting. That is what is authoritative prayer. And some of the references is when King Jehoash, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, verse 19, this was when Elisha was at his deathbed. And King Jehoash went to him when he was dying. And he cried out because the enemies were confronting. And Elisha, they are weak, very sick in his death. He told him to do something. And that is very relevant about authoritative praying. Then in verse 18, then he said, take the arrows and the king, and the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only 3 times. That is what a reference of authoritative praying, where you are our words spoken with authority, invested in the promises of God, and confront the strongholds. He did it only 3 times. And that really was, really, the man of God was quite unhappy about that. In Jeremiah 1:10, when God called Jeremiah, young man, verse 10, he says, "See today, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, tear down, to destroy, overthrow, to build, and to plant." That is prayer. Prayer is action. We have to uproot, we have to destroy, we have to overthrow, we have to build, and to plant. The other key point, the other point is prayer must be bathed with spiritual aggression. Prayer must be bathed with spiritual aggression. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been leading it." It's a battle. Prayer is a battle. That's why it has to be bathed with spiritual aggression. And then there's another point here. Men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our personality, our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. Prayer is a weapon. And I remember the story of Elijah. He had a very difficult time with King Ahab. And in the book of James chapter 5, verse 17, it says that Elijah prayed. You know, he realized there's no other way to win over. You see, all that he did in James chapter 5, verse 17, Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain. No further arguments. He just went into his knees and prayed. And God heard. Hallelujah. So people may reject our messages, our arguments, oppose our arguments, our personality, but they are helpless against our prayers. Hallelujah. Other point is, no obstacle can stand in the way of a praying church. No obstacle can withstand in the way of a praying church. You know the story of Peter in the book of Acts 12, verse 5 to 17. And it says that Peter was therefore kept in prison. Constant prayer was offered by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with the two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in prison. He struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Hallelujah. Nothing, no obstacle can stand in the way of a praying church, even of a praying believer. Hallelujah. No obstacle. They will come, but none can stand in your way. You know, sometimes in my life I've seen this. Sometimes God answers our prayers, not by giving us what we want, but by challenging us to change. And that's a battle for me. Sometimes I want things, you know. I want God to hear and answer immediately. Sometimes you pray, but God doesn't answer. But God changes you. God wants sometimes to change us. An example is in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15. After Nathan had gone home, that was when David sinned against God and slept with Uriah's wife. And so it says that after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah had born to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the boy. He fasted and went out into his house and spent the night lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of the household stood beside him to help him up from the ground, but was unwilling and would not eat anything with them. On the seventh day, the child died. What a devastating result. The outcome was not what David was expecting, but that changed that man. He woke up and ate, and everybody was shocked because deep down, there was transformation. That was unexpected. Somebody, you are praying and fasting and crying, and when you woke up, when you are told that the child you have been pleading with God to be, to God to heal him, he died, and you rose up, wash, and eat. That's a transformation. And the words that he says that he told them, I will go and meet with him. He will not come back. Praise the Lord. Prayer takes the situation out of our hands and put it into God's hands. That's strong. Prayer puts the situation out of our hands and puts it into God's. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, this was when Paul was praying, and this is what he says. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on him. So sometimes prayer takes the situation out of our hands and put it into God's hand, and then the grace overflow. Grace overtakes. Hallelujah. This is an encouragement. Also, prayers allow us to admit our failures, weaknesses, and limitation to the one who responds to human vulnerability with infinite mercy. You remember the story of in the book of Psalms 51 when David cries for forgiveness and restoration. That's a good example where you pour your failures, your weaknesses, you admit you can't do it without God, and you just allow God to take over. With all our weaknesses and with all our limitations, then God responds to our human vulnerability with his mercy. So prayers brings flow of mercy, God's mercy into our lives. So what can we say are some of the importance of prayers? I read this parable of Jesus when he spoke about this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Two men went to pray. Went up to the temple to pray. That is in the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week, wow, and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves, you'll be humbled, and those who humble themselves, you'll be exalted. That is what prayer is. So what do we learn from this? Prayers empty our hearts from worry, from getting worried. Prayer acknowledges the answer is beyond you and me. Prayers brings humility, like this example of this man. Prayer brings heaven to our situation. Prayer helps one to discover God's purpose in your life. In prayer, God quiets our mind. You know, when you go before God, sometimes you have so many things eating you up. But when you go before God, just as you are with all anxiety, with all these challenges, God quiets your might. And the moment you live out of that place, you find a lot of peace, a lot of joy. And through prayer, you find strength to face the day. That's one of the most encouraging things, that when I pray, I feel that strength to face every day. And one thing that I have learned through the walk with the Lord is I used to be a very, you know, those people who worry and are anxious so much. But through the journey, I've realized one thing, that anytime I'm faced by any situation, the first thing I do is to pray. And I found that a best solution. I remember my young son used to come to me, a lot of challenges in his place of work where he was before. Lots. And the only thing that I could do was just to hold his hand and say, let's pray. Let's just pray. Because I don't have a solution. I don't have an answer. And the moment we do that, there's so much peace. There's so much comfort. There's so much assurance. Even when you haven't got the answer, you feel the strength. You feel such peace that it shall be well. It will all be well. Some key points here. I'll go through them very slowly because they are just scriptures, just which back about prayers. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit help us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercede for us through wordless groans. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Psalms 91, verse 15. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalms 34, verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Isaiah 65, chapter 65, verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. I love this, Revelation chapter 5, verse 7. And he came and took the scroll from the right hand of the one seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Ah, that's amazing. Every prayer that we make, God is kept in store. No wonder some of them are answered when you don't even expect. Praise the Lord. My conclusion, as the demands of life mount, we need to pray more, brothers and sisters, not less. Jesus rose before dawn to pray. Sometimes he prayed all night. Other times he left the demands of the crowd to go and pray. Why? Because one's power, peace, joy, effectiveness are directly related to the time one spent in prayer. So our one's power, peace, joy, and effectiveness are directly related to the time one spent in prayer. Know that God is always working when it comes to prayer. He is either answering the way we hoped or changing our hearts through the Spirit's intercession to bring our prayer into harmony with His will. So, let's always be praying. Even when you don't feel like praying, let's pray, because the power that we need is in prayer. The peace, the joy, and for us to be effective as individuals, it's only through prayer that you can do so. And I remember this prayer that the disciples, when they watched Jesus and they saw his life, and he was prayerful. And you know, the Lord's Prayer, he told them, just teach us how to pray. You know, because they admired that kind of lifestyle. I don't know you, but there's a desire in me to know how to pray. There's a desire in me to pray more. It's a battle. It's a great battle. If there's any battle, it's the greatest battle of all is to pray. Because the more you pray, the more you get the power and the strength, and the more you are effective, and the more you have peace, and the more you fight, you attract many. You attract even demons through prayers. You know why? Because they want to disrupt you. So, brothers and sisters, my prayer, and I know it's the prayer of the church, that pray. Let's press on to pray. And I know as we add up the service, we pray that prayer that Jesus taught us. God bless you. Amen. Amen.